Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 it's your girl, Cy Brown. Today is Wednesday, July 11th, and I just want to thank you for joining me on another segment, another edition, another show of Life Remixed Radio, your midday dose of urban inspiration. Just want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by GospelSpeakers.net and Blog Talk Radio. GospelSpeakers.net features an online directory of faith-based speakers, so if you need a speaker for your next event, please check out GospelSpeakers.net. Current featured speaker is Kevin Wayne Johnson. His company is Writing for the Lord Ministry, so please check him out on GospelSpeakers.net. And if you want us to highlight or feature your show or your company at the top of the hour, just shoot us an email at liferemixradio.com. Here we are broadcasting live weekdays at 12 noon from Times Square, New York City. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging out with me another day. The chat room is now open, so for those of you who may be at work, you can hit us up in the chat room. The address for the chat room is blogtalkradio.com/Cy Brown. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Cy Brown. Also, for those of you who may want to call in, the studio line is now open, 347-633-9113. Again, 347-633-9113. And I definitely will be giving that number again during today's show. Well, just want to let you know, today we're talking about mompreneurs. So any of the women out there who are considering starting a business or just thinking about starting a business, but you're a mom, you're not sure how to juggle, how to handle, I definitely think today's show is for you. Our guest today is Ms. Kenya Pope, and I am waiting for her to dial in, so I'm sure she'll be dialing in any moment. Hopefully she's not having any difficulty. We are still, this is still our first week on the air, so we're just trying to make sure everything is tight and everything is running as it should. So let's just jump right in it. Just jump right on in and let's make it happen right now. Mompreneurs, I think that's a new term that was coined in the late 90s just for moms who are entrepreneurs. And statistics show that women start businesses at a much more rapid pace than men do. And let me look at the exact statistic. 57% of women that start businesses are moms with children under the age of 18. So that is a pretty, pretty high statistic. And I just want to tell you a little bit about me and how it works for me. I see we have a caller from 973-230. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Saida, this is Kenya.
Hi,
mompreneur
sweetie.
From
how
North.
Are you?
Every life is in motion. Life is in motion.
Hi, sweetie. Well, I just want to say thank you for joining us. I was just getting ready to share something with the listeners, and then I'll jump right into you if that's okay with you.
Good.
I just, you know, just to share with all of our listeners, I just want to share my story of how I became a mompreneur. Years ago, when I had my son, anybody who knows my testimony and story knows that I was a teenage mom. I had my first son between graduation of high school and my freshman year of college. And after 2 years, I went to college, got my associate's degree, and I got a job. And I just thought, okay, this is I'm settling down. I had my second son. Okay, I'm set. And I'll never forget, I remember telling my boss, he was the CFO for this company, and I was his administrative assistant, executive assistant. And I said to him, I'm like, Mike, well, I have to take my kids to the dentist next week. He said, no worry, no problems, whatever, whatever. Well, at the time, Daquan was, I think, like 5, and Miles was probably, you know, he was less than a year old. But you want to take them to the dentist and do the right thing. And I went, took him to the dentist and came back the next day. I said, Mike, listen, the dentist couldn't see Miles because they said he was too little, and their day for infants or whatever it is next week. So I just have to take Miles back next week. And I explained, you know, you have a note. The look he gave me was such exasperation. He just was like, okay, I felt horrible. I mean, I just felt mortified. I can't even tell you. I think I felt worse than asking this man to take my children to the dentist and telling my mama that I was pregnant. And so I just remember that was a defining moment for me. And at that very second, I went home and I told my husband, I can't do this anymore. So I literally saved up 6 months of paychecks, didn't even know what business I was going to start. But I said, by golly, I'm going to try to make some money from home so I don't ever, ever, ever have to justify to anybody to take my children to the dentist. So because of that experience, I have been self-employed since 1994, like the end of 94, the beginning of 95. I have had two jobs when I thought that was what I was supposed to be doing and always ended up going back to running my own business. So I'm definitely a proponent, and I do think you can find balance. But Kenya, while we have you on the line, like, did you experience anything? Like, what made you, can just share with our listeners, number one, who you are, and then on top of that, like, what got you down this road? And then I'll move into my questions for you.
Okay. Hello, Radio Life Remix. Saida, it's so funny. I just know that God is directing my life. I'm listening to you, and it just brings chills all over my shoulders and my back. And I'm like, okay, I relate so much.
Yep.
I'm a young woman with two young boys, and it's funny because I was actually pregnant at my senior prom, didn't know it, went to college on scholarship and the whole bit, and the whole world was like, you are a mother, and your life is now miserable and pitiful, and you better get it together. So in following what I thought was right, I went to get a job, and I got what people considered as a good job at the phone company. But at the phone company, if you're 4 minutes late, you're docked. If you're 4 minutes late three times, you're on probation. So the type of leniency did not exist. I was blessed to be able to have a woman supervisor who could relate with me, who understood my talents and my gifts, but there was a limit to what she could do in terms of sort of covering for me the reasons why I was late, the reasons why I had to take days off. And the more I spent time, you know, I fished around in a couple of other jobs working in classrooms. I ended up just around other people's kids, and I was so exasperated by the end of the day that my children were neglected.
Yeah.
So I decided that, you know, and something is not working. I'm not happy, and my children are not getting the best of me. And I had to look at all the other women in my family and the experiences that they've gone through, thinking that 25, that 40, that 40 hours a week for 52 weeks in a year for 25 years was going to give them some type of gold mine. You know, I really had to see those dreams crumble because it didn't work for them. But because they're not aware, they're still going to give me that as some type of guidance and instruction. And I always look, and I just want to close by saying this, I always look to Oprah. She and I are both Aquarius women. And I remember her telling this story that when she was 9 years old and she was living with her grandmother at the time, her grandmother was working for a white woman in down South America, and you know, United States of America. And her, she was washing clothes and cleaning house for this white woman, and her grandmother was like trying to train her on how to do that.
Right.
Over in her head was like, "That's not going to be my story." And
her
grandmother was like, "You need to get it together. You need to get you a white woman." And I remember Oprah clearly saying, I did eventually get me a white woman, a couple of them working for me. And it inspired me so much, because what I had to come to understand is that when you have a vision at 9 years old, for people who have never seen it, you can't explain it to them unless you do it. And that's what I'm in the process of doing. And for me, spiritually, my gifts and talents are what God gave me to be able to provide for my family.
Yep.
And that's what I move with. I move with love and intention and purpose around what I know I do well at in giving a service to the rest of the community. And that is my faith in knowing that everything will be taken care of.
You know, I want to touch on a couple of things. It's so funny. I remember when I was young and I lived with my grandparents, I was probably about 7 years old. My grandparents, my grandfather, my grandmother used to send my grandfather's shirts out to the cleaners or to be laundered. They would put it on the porch. The laundry man would come pick it up and bring it back delivered. And my grandfather had the little piece to keep his collar up. It's probably about 2 inches, and it just wrapped around, you know, his collar to keep it pressed. Mm-hmm. And I remember oh so well where I used to make shoes, and I would trace my foot on the cardboard that the shirt was in, and I would use the piece that was in his collar as the heel. I would cut it in slits, fold it, like I don't even know how in the world I did this at like 7 years old. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny because at that age, I already knew that I was different. I already knew that something wasn't right. So when I quit my job, it was so natural. But I do have to share one thing. I was ostracized by a lot of my friends because, and one person in particular, and she has since, as we are in our 30s, come back and said, you know what, I really admire you. She came to my first office, which was very, like, dusty. It was what I could afford. I was paying $200 a month. And she walked around and she says, oh, this is nice. And I felt, because this is my friend, right? Mm-hmm. But yet, every time her son was sick and she didn't have any time off, I would say, oh, don't worry, I'll pick him up. He can hang with the boys. Her son was the same age as my older son, Daquan. And I would say to her, you know, oh, don't worry about it. You know, work late. I'll pick him up. I'll feed him dinner. And she bought a nice Lexus. I had a 93 Accord. She, you know, did certain things. We couldn't do it. So, I mean, I was even made to feel out of place by my immediate circle just because I couldn't afford certain things. My trips to Bloomingdale stopped. But that's because I made a conscious decision. And now that I look back that my children are now 18 and 14, I would not change anything. I mean, Kenya, I know your children are a little bit younger than mine, but how do you think your children feel with you not having a quote-unquote real job? I know Miles tells me all the time, will you just get a real job?
Right.
Because he wants to move to the Air Force.
Yes. It's such a social pressure.
It is.
Because, like I said, you know, I'm the youngest. So you got to picture that my oldest brother is in his late 30s. So you can imagine how old my parents are and what the rest of the family has experienced. Just, you know, just regular American stuff like get a good I mean, just regular world stuff.
Yep.
So when my children hang out with their relatives, that's the talk that they hear.
Yeah,
But at the same time, that people kind of, you know, hate, you know, whatever.
Yep.
They also know that a part of Kenya will always stand up because they've seen it. And so what I've begun to do is expose my children to the business.
Yes.
To the point where I'm talking to my son. He was doing some math homework on percentages. And I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I gave him a couple of examples, just some really simple examples. Once he mastered those, I gave him, like, a commission example of something of a project that I was working on. I was like, just work on this. I already knew what the commission was. I was like, okay, you're good. I think I'm going to hire you.
Yep.
And so he's very excited about being mommy's accountant, and he's 10 years old.
Yep.
And whenever I see conferences about children in business, there's a couple of young entrepreneurs who've already started their own business. There's a young woman who has her own. It's a young black woman. Her name escapes me. But she has her own young magazine for young girls, and she does the whole editorial bit and everything. So I try
to expose
She's based
out of Atlanta. I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, my goodness, I know her. She has been on Oprah and everything. Oh, my goodness, her name escapes me, but I know exactly.
Yes.
I think her name is Kendra or Kenya.
I thought
she wears glasses.
I was going to give her my name because I thought it was just a fly name, and I was like, well, maybe that's just going to be a little bit self-loathing. But I was like, yeah, I think her name is Kenya because, you know, I'm Kenya. I think it is Kenya.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, what my focus is to expose my children to business at their own level and expose them to what mommy's doing, that mommy's having this time between this time and this time to work on the computer. Or I also am an artist and a performer, so sometimes when my older son was smaller, he would be at the side of the stage and be like, Mom,
I love it. I love
it. He would know all of my lines and feed them back to me. I just feel that whatever you do as a woman, as a mother, you got to include your children in it. Some people go to work all day and then they leave that at home and the child never really connects to who their mother is as a person. And I think that when you become a mompreneur, you shading in, you know, that space that's between you because you get a chance to talk more. You can be more honest with them. You can be more realistic with the conversations that you have with them, and they can be more involved in it so that eventually they'll grow up under a new, you know, understanding that life is about finding their own way.
I totally agree with you.
But, you know, family is what it is. And what I've had to learn, honestly, in the last year, in 2008, is that they mean well. You know, they don't want for us to fall on our face. They can only talk about what they've seen.
Right.
So it's like, okay, thanks for the input, you know. And then I go home and I have mentors and I have people around that I feel that I can trust.
Right.
Specifically about my business questions, I won't give it to my family anymore because they'll just crush them before I start.
You know what's so funny?
Lessons. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? Number one, my grandmother probably to this day does not know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, do you have a job? I said, I work every day. Hard, real hard. Literally, I mean, you know personally, I just moved, and I probably crawl out of my bed and go right to my office in my house before I even make my first pot of coffee. But I work hard, but I don't have a job. And that's a very difficult concept for people to understand. And I want to talk about the social implications for children, because when I lived in Atlanta, and I was a publicist in Atlanta, I would try to be home in the afternoon when my children were home from school if I didn't have meetings. And I will never, ever forget this. My younger son, Miles, came home from school one day. The school bus dropped him off, and he ran in the door, and he looked at me. He says, why are you always here? Every time I come home, you're doing laundry or you're cooking, and you're just here, and you're always at school, and you're just here, and all my other friends' mothers are at work, and you're always here. Well, I have to say, I think I went in the room and cried for an hour. Because what, you know, here we are.
How do you respond?
Number one, how do you respond to that? Number two, we're raising black men.
Mm-hmm.
So already they have these images of the role of women. So there were just so many things going on, and I'm trying to explain. I said, well, Miles, mommy is here because she loves you. And he's like, well, so-and-so's mommy loves him too. You know,
right.
So it's the socialization is very difficult. And I remember times where my kids are running around in the house and I had to tell a client, can you hold on one moment, please?
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned to my kids, shut the hell up! You know, and you know, number one, you're not even supposed to say that. But the pressure that we feel,
mm-hmm.
I know here I am, this is supposed to be joyous and lovely and mommy works from home and kumbaya, and now I'm yelling and screaming and cursing on the phone. Have you ever had any of those instances where there was really a conflict?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the beginning, because I actually had the privilege of nursing my second son.
Yay.
So,
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yes. And at the time, I was very, very heavy in the entertainment industry as a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be invited to be on panel discussions, radio shows, and my son was wrapped around me, on me. And they were like, what is this extra noise? And we're getting feedback on the microphone. I'm like, no, it's nothing. And some people just weren't even aware that people, you know, carry their children in that way, that they didn't even know that I had a child.
Yeah.
Until he just started talking in the middle of my set. And
those are the quirky things, right?
Yeah. But in the beginning, because I'm such a hustler, you know,
that's the
word that people have said, you know, it was like I didn't have defined boundaries. We were home and, you know, after I did breakfast, I want to do some work on a computer. And then when I'm doing lunch, I want to be making phone calls. And it was like I was working 24 hours a day because there was no distinction like going to work and coming home from work, you know. And so there were all those challenges of kid is in the bathtub, phone call comes in, and it's so funny that both of my children answer the phone, and they're like, good afternoon. Oh, can we take a message, please?
That's the way. You know what? It's actually better that way. I just want to give our call-in line in case anybody wants to call in and speak with you. The number to call in is 347-633-9113. Again, 347-633-9113. And you're listening to Kenya Pope, who is like just the most dynamic urban tastemaker and successful entrepreneur here in the New York City area. So she's with us today just talking about how it is to be a mom, an entrepreneur, and really to balance, or how to balance. And I want to ask, as we start to wind down, I can't believe the show is only 30 minutes. I really think I have to extend the show. Mm-hmm. But can you tell us some of the ways that you've been able to balance?
Sure. So I want to say you're great, and I want to grow up to be just like you.
Oh, girl.
In a Kenya way.
look, and I, all right, your check is in the mail, girl.
No payment. We'll talk about that offline. But overall, honestly, I must have to say, as a young black woman, I really submit my life to the power that I know is God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When I consciously made that decision, and it's a continuous decision, it's an everyday choice in every action,
yep.
It orders my life, and I listen and I learn. Sometimes they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing. I need to sit in my room with no TV, no radio,
yep.
just for like a half an hour. Mommy,
mm-hmm.
this time. And I would listen to the voice, and I would get instructions of what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. And what I also do is read a lot about women. There's a magazine like Working Mother. There's
yep.
different blogs that you can, you know, just to get some feedback about what other women are doing and how they're handling it. And just overall, when you work from home, number one,
yeah.
don't work in your pajamas. Number one, I had to learn this. Okay.
Just like me.
When I go to work, like, you know, Sai and I, we had a meeting earlier this week, and she was like, you look fabulous. And I'm like, I have to put on my face like I'm going to work, because if I don't, it's just like, okay, pass the chips and the
yep.
ice cream and whatever.
You're so right. Oh, my God, you're so right.
And then secondly, even if I don't work 9 to 5, because while you're in the house, you're going to cook, you're going to wash dishes, you're
yep.
going to fold, you're going to do that. So fine, what I work to do is say from 9 a.m. to 11, I'm going to get solid work in, and I have a list of things that I need to accomplish, not going on the internet and responding to my girlfriend's emails. Like, no,
right.
I have a list of things that from 9 to 11 I need to do. And then at 11, if I choose to do lunch for 11 to 12, then I'm not answering any phone calls from 11 to 12 unless, you know, it's that client that you need, you know, to respond to. So
you
I try to block off time. That's the second thing.
Okay, so what was the first again? Because I want to put these tips actually on the website.
Okay.
The first one was don't work. And you know what? I just have to say, you'll be so proud. I brushed my hair today. I actually washed it and brushed my hair.
I am proud.
Yeah, because everybody, just so you know, I do work a lot from home, and I moved last week. So today was my day that I looked grown up, and today is the day I didn't see Kenya.
I missed it because she was kind of looking
it was
like
crazy.
Pippi Longstocking.
It was crazy.
With
it was crazy.
Braids, but it's cute.
Yeah.
But number one.
What's the first tip?
Number
don't work
one,
in your pajamas.
Do not roll up to your work space in your pajamas, your hair rollers, whatever. Do your face. Wake up.
Yep.
If you put on eyeliner, put on your eyeliner, put on your lip gloss, take a shower, brush your teeth, and get ready to work. Sit in a space that's separate from where you sleep.
And the second tip was?
And the second tip was block off time. You don't have
okay.
to work 9 to 5. If you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you want to get on the computer or you want to make follow-up emails, set aside from 5 to 7 is when I'm going to do that. And then from 7 to 9 is when I'm going to have breakfast with my family, you know, and then 9 to 11. And once you block off time, you just got to let kids know. Just like you put on their soccer schedule and their school schedule somewhere in the house, you let them know this is when mommy's working. And you keep reminding people in your life that this is my schedule, and I'm asking you to respect my schedule. And they will, because you also block off time for them. So that's the third part. Block off time for your family and the rest of your life.
Well, you know what? I have to add something because one of the reasons I did get in office is because I found myself, and this is not as of late as I, but when I first started my business, there was so much I wanted to learn and so much I wanted to know that my family actually got together and by a quorum told me I had to get off the computer by 7 o'clock because I was burning dinner, stuff was getting left, kids were left. I used to give my children a bath. I hope DIFAS or Bureau of Child Welfare is not listening now. I would put my children in a bath with bubbles and let them take in the tub every single toy they owned, and I knew that was another hour I could get back on the computer. And mm-hmm. it was crazy, and I'm chuckling when I'm hearing this because I did it. I would literally say, okay, it's bath time, go get your toys. Girl, there would be water, bubbles, but that because I did not have that balance. Maybe
right.
it's a little easier for me now because I have two teenagers who I literally probably have to pay to come hang out with me. But I think just to strike on the three things that you said, finding a balance between your family and your business is so, so critically important. Mm-hmm. We are now down to less than 5 minutes in the show. And Kenya, I want you to please just give your final thoughts and let people know how they can get in touch with you and what you do in your business. And then I'm going to give closing thoughts, and then I'm going to let everybody know what we're talking about tomorrow. So
sure.
You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, here. Number one, welcome to a new world. Admit God first.
Amen.
Welcome God first every morning and every night. And know that we are different people than our parents, and it's cool. Oprah was a different person than her grandparents, and that's
mm-hmm.
what we look up to, and that's what we look forward for so that our children can be even greater than who we are. I am a publicist and an artist, and I'm also a booking agent with the Platinum Speakers Bureau. Lady Buzz Promotions does arts and culture entertainment, and it's ladybuzzpr.com. If you need to send an email, very easy, ladyspeaks@gmail.com.
Well, I am so happy, and, you know, I'm just happy that you joined us and to talk about this. And I just want to let my listeners know, it's funny because I get so many emails after the show. I guess by me listening to that voice, you know, that little voice to do a radio show, I was right. I listened and didn't even know why I was listening. But the name of the show is Life Remixed Radio. And the whole concept of the show is we are taking everything that we're taught and rethinking it so that it kind of works for us because we don't know how to maneuver because the stuff we were taught kind of doesn't work right now. Tomorrow we will be talking about Reaganomics and the policies, the financial policies of Ronald Reagan. Did it work? How it doesn't work? Inflation, recession. So that's our topic for tomorrow, Thursday, July 10th. And I just want to let you know, if you want to be a guest on the show, log on to liferemixradio.com. If you want to advertise on the show, just click on the advertising link. I just want to say a special, special thank you to Kenya Pope for joining us today, and thank you, Kenya. And
absolutely.
Make sure you
and you can also check out myspace.com /ladyspeaks SPEAKS.
What I'll do is I'll put this on the website so that way when people log on to Life Remixed Radio, there'll be a direct link to your MySpace page, and there'll be a direct link so that way everybody can kind of see what you're up to, see what you're working on,
mm-hmm.
and all that good stuff. I mean, this is good stuff. This is definitely good stuff, being a mompreneur. And you know what's funny? I just want to add, we're down to the last 60 seconds of the show. So many women of other races stay home with their children. A lot of us are home with our children because we have no job, not just because they make a choice to stay home, and we stay home because either there are financial barriers or other barriers to entry in the workplace. So I encourage all of my listeners that may be unemployed or underemployed or not employed because they're on public assistance, you too can be a mompreneur. Just find something you're good at, find your hustle, cook dinners out your house, babysit. Those are all ways to be a mompreneur. So I just want to say, don't look at it as this is too hard, I don't have this, I don't have that. Listen to that little voice in your ear, get your hustle on, and do your thing. So Kenya, again, thank you. This wraps up today's show. And I just want to say, as always, thanks, God, and so it is.
Be blessed.